Gentlemen, please. Next on the agenda is change of zone number 2052, Marlin Cove.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential planned community for 210 units for certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 60.84 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the west side of New Road, which is Sussex County Route 391, approximately 80 feet north of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533. Map 19, parcel 7.00, parcel 8.01, and parcel 9.00, submitted into the record, Madam Chair. We have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the State Plus comments. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which includes the applicant's chapter 99-9C response. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment report. We have a copy of the DLDOT traffic operational analysis report. We have a copy of the proposed HOA covenants, along with the applicant's forest assessment report. We have a copy of the written staff analysis. We have a copy of the resource buffer management plan submitted by the applicant. We also have a copy of the school district notification letter that was sent. We also have technical advisory committee comments, including a written response received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. And I would note that as of today, we've received zero comments. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Willard, round two.
Good evening, Madam Chairlady. My name is Tim Willard. I'm the Willard of Fuquay, Willard, and Schaub. And hello to Mr. Passwaters and Mr. Allen. I don't think I've been before you. I pop over here occasionally.
Are you going to be shorter than your partner in terms of presentation?
It's my the personal Willard. Goal to hear you gavel out at 8 o'clock. Okay? I'm just saying.
It turns out we share that.
You got a new nickname now. You're going to be known as The Willard.
The Willard.
The Willard.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Of Willard Fuquay.
The Willard.
Yeah.
Not Willard the Rat. You remember that movie? Yeah. Don't go there.
He's losing time on his presentation.
Yeah.
There is a PowerPoint I have that I hope we can pull up. I came over to the office this morning and they said they had it. Oh, there it is. Good. And I will plan on going through that. Let me introduce my client first. This is Russ Gufasi. Garufi. I always butcher it. Garufi. And his partner, this is a great name, Fabian Rodriguez. And they're the principals. Yeah, they're two actors from Hollywood or something. But they're the two principals in Marlin Cove. And to my left are Vista engineers, Rich Polk and Eric Evans.
Jones.
Sorry, I just talked to an Eric Evans. And you know the Mr. Wetlands, Ed Linnae. And they're all here to be a resource to go through this. And I know that the new members recently probably have had some experience with RPCs. So let me tell you what this is. This is an RPC, Resident Planned Community, which is a change of zone with an MR change of zone. So last 2 weeks ago, you heard an MRRPC, and Mr. Fuquay, I think, presented it, where there wasn't a change of zone, but it was an RPC. So I imagine you understand that concept. The RPC is a residential planned community, basically, that allows flexibility to design different lot sizes and different types of houses, but you have to have the underlying zoning. And we're asking for an underlying zoning in this area to be changed from AR1 to MR, which instead of 2 units an acre is 4. And we think it's appropriate, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to probably first say why I think they should be approved and then show you why it should be approved. And then ask you then hope that we did. This application seeks a change of zone from AR1 to MRRPC for approval of 210 residential lots, including 106 single-family detached lots and 104 semi-detached duplex lots on land containing 60.84 acres. The proposed RPC use meets the purposes of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county in an appropriate location, utilizing MR zoning in a coastal area surrounded by similar density and will not adversely affect neighboring properties, area roadways, or community facilities. The proposed MRRPC is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan. The coastal area of the plan is a designated growth area where a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family and multifamily units. MR zoning may be appropriate in a coastal zone. In fact, it's listed as an appropriate zoning for coastal areas. And you heard earlier Mr. Fakifuwe pounding the importance of the comp plan, but it really is important. It's the sort of overview of how you have to decide things. And in a coastal area, and you'll see that this whole area is coastal, MR is an appropriate zoning. The purpose of the MR zone is to provide medium density residential developments in areas that are expected to become urban or town-like, and where five things are available, where central sewer and water will be available, there are near sufficient uses of commercial uses and employment centers, where it is keeping with the character of the area, and where it is along a main road or near a major intersection, and where there's adequate levels of services. The proposed MRC or MRRPC is located near a major intersection of Route 54 and Route 20. Its frontage on New Road is appropriate, only 100 feet to the intersection of Route 54 and 1,300 feet from Route 22. And I think maybe now I'll start going through the PowerPoint. And there are, I think, 19 slides, but we'll go through them kind of quickly. But do I have to go through them? You'd say yes. I think I did. I touched something and it did it. So that's the area. It's in a coastal zone. There are three existing parcels located on New Road. I don't need to give you the parcel numbers, but two of them are in Marlin Cove's names. One's in Atlantic Associates Inc. The gentleman, they have owned the properties. In fact, Mr. Grafusi lives right across the street on New Road. I told you it's 0.5 miles east of Williamsville. It's 100 feet north of Lighthouse Road. And 1,300 feet from Zion Road. So it's between those two rather major locations. Major intersections and roads. Sort of sensitive. So the proposed MRC is surrounded by similarly zoned MR residential communities. And if you can see there, most recently, you see in the bottom, Bay Knolls and the Melson property, they were both MR, and in 2021, you all recommended it be approved as MR for the reasons I've sort of articulated already, that it's in a coastal zone and it's near a major intersection and meets those other Part 4 requirements. I have that ordinance. There's no need to read it. Right next to it at Melson's property, the same finding was determined that should be MR. They weren't RPCs, but I should point out that the RPCs have to be at least 40 acres, and those were smaller, but they were able to get the density they needed. So if you go to the top, you see Foxhaven is GR. It's been around for a while, and that actually is the same density because their units are supposed to be 10,000 square feet, so it's actually the same density. You see there we are, the proposed, there are a few ARs on the top of that, and then you see Arrington Woods. And if you look at the densities, Bay Knolls is 3.87, Nelson is 3.67, we're proposing 3.45, and you see some HR, the red is high density, up to the right closer to Fenwick. You see a lot of commercial, the pink, I think, if commercial. So there's a lot of activity there. The proposed RPC is close proximity to the intersection of Route 20 and 54, where a commercial center has been established and which serves residents in the vicinity. This area has higher residential density and is served by various commercial businesses. I'm not showing the businesses at that location, but I'm gonna just quickly list what's in that area. And those of you that are familiar with that area, you'll be familiar with some of these businesses. But the idea is there's an array of different businesses that serve that whole area, which is really the purpose of MR, having a little higher density, because it's like a town in itself or becoming one, and you all have recognized that. Brazier's Pest Control, Brazier's Carpet Cleaning, Brandywine, Fenwick Island by Monarch, Moore's Children's Health and at BB is at the intersection there. There's a McDonald's, CVS Drugstore, Jessica Hammond's, FNMSN, not sure what she does. Harris Teeter Fuel, so you know Harris Teeter's there, Harris Teeter Bakery, the grocery store's there, Bayside Wine and Spirits, Hometown Creamery, Maxim Hair, PNC Bank, Lucia's Pizza, Capstone Homes Villas, a hair studio, Royal Farms, Vogue Salon, Luna's Cactus Cafe, And last but not least, Coco's Massage Place. And I probably didn't get them all. So one thing I wanted to mention is, and nobody can say it faster than what's in the record than Jamie Whitehouse. But before we get here, he lists everything that's in there. And you all know this, and maybe I'm telling you something you all know, but we rely on that record as we go forward or if things don't go forward. And there's a ton of information in there. That's why they're that thick. There's an environmental assessment that has drain and stormwater runoff, portable water, wastewater, a whole report on all the, you know, quality of the property. There's a section on there, the conformance with 99C, 99.9C, which describes how we meet that. In the interest of sort of being efficient, I don't have to go through with, but I want to just draw your attention to that is part of the record, and it's very thorough, especially in this application. It's before you. You all should have gotten a digital copy of all that. In the booklet also, there's conformance with comp plan, drainage assessment, the resource buffer management plan, forest assessment. There's the county staff reviews, and a shout out to your staff, because they've seen this project early on. They've reviewed it, they've made comments, they've got other comments that came back. And there are other information in this deals with, like, their 10 maps dealing with various flood maps, which shows what's going on there. There's the plus comments. And there's also my client's engineer's response to all the counties, so they've worked together. So I think enough of that. Next slide, which I can get to. My point simply is, you know, these to get here before you takes a lot of effort, and those are all part of the record that I've already gone through, and I'll be referring to some of the detail of that, although I just wanted to make you aware it's all in there, that 3 inches of book. So this is the existing utilities, one important aspect of MR being appropriate in a coastal zone is that utilities are available. And you can see that there's a sewer manhole 8 inches just north on Zion Road. There's a water main that runs down New Road. There's a gas main as well. There's underground electric. There's a sewer manhole down by Lighthouse Intersection. So central sewer is available. There's one parcel 9 that has to be annexed into the area, but it's surrounded by as in a sewer zone area. So basically, all utilities are available that are central. So this is a little history of the property. That is the property. We're all interested in forests. This, in one of the reports, and there's an extensive forest assessment report in there, which shows you the diameter of all trees that are over a certain site. It's pretty impressive. And in fact, in the forest buffer, they're showed in there for purposes of, you know, making sure they're preserved. But the point is, not a lot of forest is being reserved or quality forest. They call it sort of shrub forest. In that report, it indicates that the area has probably been forested since 1981. I think that was the date, but continually. And mostly in that one area in the top and in the little sort of middle of 801. But that's a previous on-site timbering since, I think that was in 2011, 10 years ago, or 13. So the forest area is not quality area. I can't really, if I were to summarize the forest report, they break it down into tier 1, 2, 2, 2, and 3, and 4. And there's no tier 1. They say it's all mostly 47%, I think, not really salvageable forest. So. As far as taking a lot of forest, in these particular lots, it's not going to happen. We're going to, in fact, preserve most of the forest in the border. It's where the mature trees are. This is the forest assessment and buffer preservation. And it's in a, when, if you look in this far left side, and you see all those numbers and that chart over there, those are identifying trees and their dimensions, which is pretty cool. I think, Sussex County really doesn't have a forest code. We used Newcastle County, which you've all used in the past, to at least have a basis how we do it. So they're all being identified. for their value and also establishing the buffer. As to the forested buffer, there'll be a 50-foot setback from active agricultural uses, 30 feet retained forest perimeter buffer where woodlands exist, so they will not be removed. There's also be a 20-foot perimeter buffer in the protected area where woodlands exist, so a total of 50. And you know, on the bottom, you see the 30-foot landscape or perimeter buffer area where no woodlands exist surrounds the entire subdivision. So this is, there's one area of wetlands, federal wetlands. There's a creek called Roy Creek that runs through the property. And therefore, there has to be buffer zones for that whole area. I think it's about 1.3, 1.2 acres. Ed Linnaeus here to talk about it. They are regulated wetlands identified along Roy Creek. It's intermittent channel. I've learned about intermittent channels and ephemeral channels. Basically intermittent, they're dry. The other one can be wet, and it has wetlands surrounding it in the woodlaries. And that's the area that's requiring the buffer. And if you look at, if you can read the colors there, you see the darker red, green are the non-tidal wetlands. The blue, there's a 15-foot zone A that goes around the entire border of the wetlands. And then there's another 15-foot zone B, which is required. And they're the two loops. In addition, there's an expanded zone B buffer and an expanded forest retention around the outside. That's the yellow. So you have a total of 40 and plus the woods in some areas, more like 50 around it. And that'll be marked and preserved. So that follows your buffer law. If we go to the next slide. So here's the basic subdivision. And you know, they planned it sort of, I think, how the comp plan intends to have MR be dealt with in a coastal area that's sort of in a town-like structure that's starting to develop or has developed and you recognize. So that's why you see the townhouses, the duplexes, I'm sorry, to the south. So there's a little more density closer to the intersection and the single families a little further away up at the top. So it's a total of 200 at the density of 3.45. There are two entrances into it, the northern entrance into the single family. And I'll have a little more detail to show you some of the other features of the neighborhood. And there's some right there. These are single family lots, minimum is 7,500 square feet. They have room for parking for four cars on each lot, including the driveway and the garage. The buffers all around. There's a little extra open space here. There's access to that buffer area in these areas where I'm going through there. Here's the, there was an area that was not official regulated wetlands, but it seemed to be an area where a lot of the taking of trees and equipment was, and so there it was recessed, so they've kept that area sort of as a stormwater area. I'll talk a little bit more. Here's Roy Creek and the land areas with all the buffers around it. I'll talk a little bit more about the road frontage. Got to keep to my schedule though. Yeah. There's the lower section where you see wetlands area up is up that way. And this is the road that goes around. They're going to be improving this whole system and not disturbing obviously the wetland area but buffering it. So they'll be culverting at one area there where you have to cross over the Roy Creek, which is dry a lot of the time. So that's the southern entrance. There's a stormwater up place down here and in the middle here, and there's access to the middle space for maintenance and such.
Mr. Willard, we're going to need you to speak more in the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it's not getting picked up. Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. So there's some access into the open space. That's the southern entrance. Another stormwater here. They're actually probably going to improve some of the flow that's coming from the fields over there by their improvements up here. There's the community open space. It's required is 30%. We have 18.25 acres, which is 36.5% provided of 20 to 22 acres. So we have 22 acres more than 18. And it includes the forested buffer, the buffer protection area, landscape buffer, and the other resource buffers and active impacts of the open space. So the DelDOT improvements, the new road improvements will be widening to DelDOT standards across the frontage. There will be bike lanes and two 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders. There will be a right turn lane at each subdivision. So as you come into the right from the south, say Zion Road, you're coming down New Road, they're going to make a right turn lane into there and into the south. And they'll be widening it. There'll also be a shared use path all along the whole side here. In down here at 54, they're going to create two turn lanes, a separate right turn lane in, and I think a New Road, a right turn from westbound and a left turn from eastbound Route 54. So two extra lanes. That area is getting busier, so there'll be turning lanes for both areas. Bike path or common use one. These are more detail of what it would look like. If you go back a little bit and see this area where there's no forested, they're going to do a 3-foot buffer with a fence where there's no forest there on the other side of the bike path. On that, there's the other southern entrance. There's similar entrances. This will be all landscaped and the berm, and there's the bike path. So the amenities. So there'll be a bathhouse, community rooms, bath changing rooms, pool deck, pool, bike racks, flagpole, picnic tables. I'm not sure what they're going to put up the flagpole. But
Mr. Willer, we really need you to speak up and speak into the mic because you're mumbling and talking really quiet, and it's not going
to
be picked up.
Sorry, I'm trying to talk fast too.
Yeah,
and I'm reading somewhat, and I know that can be sort of irritating when you're doing a PowerPoint. You can read, right? But it's pretty concentrated amenities with a pool house, parking, EV charging equipment at the parking lot, and there are plenty of spaces. I didn't point out earlier when I showed the two sections of the neighborhood that there were sidewalks, at least on one side of every road. Okay? Is that better, Mr. Robertson?
It is, yes, thank you.
I'm leaning into it. So these are the resource buffer preservation areas. I've talked pretty much a lot about that. The regulated wetlands identified along Roy Creek. There's two 15-foot A and a 15-foot B, preserved additional areas, zone B, and a forested area. That's just what I previously talked about, a little blown up. In the amenities area, there's also a picnic area. There's some talk about maybe doing pickleball in that, but it's designated as a picnic area right now. These are some maps of Sussex County wellhead area. They're not in an area that's of concern. Artesian, and in our booklet, you'll see a willing to serve from Artesian. And here's a sanitary sewer district that they can, they have two lots that are in it. This parcel can be annexed, and there's already been communication with the engineers department about that. And the infrastructure is really close and right down New Road. Some other maps there. There's a Sussex County map showing the activity on the other side. We've already talked about some of that, as well as the coastal zone, the state strategies, and the FEMA flood map. And then again, we're repeating the second slide you saw, because really I think the threshold of an application like this is MR appropriate? And the RPC gives it the flexibility. And the RPC should require, and they're kind of soft terms, but they're important, that it's a superior design. MR is appropriate because it's in coastal, in a growth area, and they say MR is appropriate. Sewer and water is available. There's commercial near the area, and quite frankly, you've found it appropriate in the same proximity, I think close enough. To make a good argument that it should be similar, and it's been designed in such a way that the more dense housing is closer to 54, and it makes some sense there. I've also, and some of this is already written in the record, but I'd like to reiterate that the RPC flexibility has permitted Marling Cove to achieve the purpose of the RPC, which is to encourage large-scale development as a means of creating a superior living environment and to provide design ingenuity while achieving the goals of the comprehensive plan. And they've done this by offering alternative housing types, locating home sites together on environmentally suitable portions of the site outside of the wetlands, mature woodlands, and waterways, retaining over 36% of the total site area in open space, preserving contiguous forest open space areas and resource buffers along the federally regulated Roy Creek stream channel and adjacent wetlands to promote wildlife corridors to and from the nearby adjacent woodlands, creating non-forested open spaces throughout the community for increased passive or active recreational use, providing a community recreational building with areas of community events and gathering along with Bath to support the adjacent community pool, bathhouse, and children's play area, establishing multiple wet pond stormwater management facilities designed to maintain natural drainage patterns and promote health and protection of area groundwater in accordance with state Delaware water quality standards, constructing pedestrian sidewalks throughout the community to promote safe pedestrian circulation, which connects to the proposed shared-use path along the new road right-of-way, preserving 30 feet of forested perimeter buffers where woodlands currently exist along the site's perimeter. I said it that time, didn't I? And establishing 30 feet of landscape perimeter buffers where woodlands do not currently exist, establishing 20 feet of perimeter buffer protection areas along the forest, and establishing a landscape berm. So, of course, your code helps in some ways for us to create sort of subdivisions, communities that are superior, because some of these things are required, and they're starting to work more and more as far as I've been around, the buffers and forested buffers. At 3 minutes to eight. But that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I was going to submit to Mr. Robinson the findings and conditions. I've included all the standard conditions in the findings that you normally see, plus the ones specific to this application.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions from the commission. We'll start with Mr. Mears.
Your plan says every stormwater management pond is open space.
I think it can be counted as open space. Yeah.
It can be under the current open space requirements.
It's not encouraged, I know.
Yeah. I mean, and there's always the element of whether this is superior design or not. You'll have to decide.
Yeah. And then that's a hard one to do. It is true that a lot of the open space is the stormwater. And
let's have your engineer address it.
Yeah.
For the record, my name is Rich Polk with Vista Design. Good evening. That is correct. The open space computations that are on the plan do consider the stormwater management areas as well as the buffer areas as well as the areas between the homes and the lots and the duplex area. There's an area between there as well as the areas along, you know, the preserved areas along the wetland areas and the wetland areas themselves. That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And
That's all I have. Corners,
you can have access to the buffer zones. Obviously, it can't be, you know, changed or any way, but there's some access to get there for maintenance purposes and such.
Mr. Allen?
We talked about traffic at all night. I'm just kidding.
I was scared to say.
I got some charts.
I was scared to say the word.
No. I'm just thinking off a new road in 54. It looks like a possible good place for a traffic signal, but I mean, that's doubled out. So.
Well, I didn't get into the detail of how that process works, but it's in a, if it was, they have the number that they calculated when they put in their service level. And it, instead of a TIS, there's an area-wide study that DOT has done for this. So they require the applicant to hire a traffic expert, JMT. That's in your book, too. There, it's a pretty thorough report. And they come back with a plan. The plan is to do the two turn lanes, to widen the road, especially on 54, create two turn lanes. And that has to be accepted by DLDOT. And DLDOT, in lieu of doing a traffic impact study and all that, they could accept that if it worked, and the developer has to pay for all those changes. And they didn't, to answer your question, apparently they didn't say a signal was appropriate now. They always could change.
Can I add just one more thing? There was a traffic operational assessment done with the intersections of New Road and 54 and Route 20 being two specific intersections that were studied. Neither one of the turning motions versus the background traffic met the threshold or the warrants of DLDOT for requiring a turn signal.
Looks like a candidate for at least two roundabouts.
Well, here we go again.
See what happens when you keep us here this late?
Don't get him started on something random. What questions do you have, sir?
I don't have any legitimate questions at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Passworth?
Questions. I forgot to do something. Can I just get one of my clients up here to say what I said made sense? Russ, you heard my...
Russ Garufi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it true and correct what I told them, to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it is.
You could hear it?
Yes, I could.
Did it make sense?
Did it make sense?
Because I know what it is.
Where do you live?
Right there.
No, seriously, we need your address, though. So,
37795 New Road.
Okay, thank you.
He's been around this area for a while and does build some houses and does some things. So.
Yep.
He's doing this for his grandchildren.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Well, just one comment. You mentioned pickleball. We've been down the road with pickleball before. If that's not on the site plan, it doesn't get approved and shown on the site plan, don't go trying to put pickleball in just because that
you're going to come back and then we'll hear about pickleball for an hour.
Yeah. It's loud.
I don't think we're pro pickleball anyway.
Okay.
Put a lot of pickleball courts in on subdivisions and hear a lot of complaints.
You're right. That's what I was going to say. If you're going to put it in, you know, it would have had to have been shown because we've run into situations where it's caused problems later. I know, you know, everybody kind of jokes about pickleball and stuff, but it becomes it.
Yeah.
Takes on a life of its own. So
maybe an indoor pickleball / shooting range or something like that might be appropriate. But
I'm turning your mic off. All right. Okay. Have a seat. We'll see if anybody here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 2052 Marlin Cove? Anybody like to speak in opposition? Okay, there being none, anybody else have any other questions? No? Okay, I'll close the hearing for change of zone number 2052 Marlin Cove.